Live from the WSBA TV podcast studio, welcome to our latest edition of the G-Race podcast.
And now, introducing the lovely Big O.
All right, welcome everyone to the G-Race with the lovely Big O. Let me get my name right. G-Racers, we are back and we in full effect, and I am excited about today as always. But today I get to welcome in Minister Zacchaeus Moss. Hello, Minister.
Hey, welcome, welcome. I guess I should be saying welcome to you, but...
No, look, you good?
I am happy to be here in this space. I met you a while back, and I've laughed, and it's a pleasure to be in your presence.
So glad that you are here, and listen, it ain't nobody else better to laugh with and chop it up with than a minister. You know, I had to ask, because you don't ever want to mess up the minister's name, so you got to make sure that we talk about the title, but we're going to get ready to dive on in, and I want you to tell us and introduce yourself and share with us a little bit about who you are, not just as a minister and an author, but who Zacchaeus is.
Certainly. Just a country boy from Alabama that likes soul food. I'm a licensed minister. I am a husband. My wife, Lena. We've been married a little bit over 17 years.
Come on, 17.
And certainly, it's been exciting to be married, and certainly an author to be able to produce a couple of books, and that's who I am. A minister that serves in the community, serves in my church faithfully, and that's pretty much who I am. One that is from the Bible Belt, was raised by my mother, in Alabama, single parent, but I was blessed to be in the home of my grandparents, so that was a blessing. They raised me to be who I am today.
Listen, I think that's remarkable to be able to say, hey, this is who I am, and that's just bottom line. And one thing about us here at G-Race, and we like to get into, you know, what got you to the place that you are today. You know, you said you came from Alabama. Now are you here in Greenville? Where are you located?
You know, actually, I spent from 2005 to 2018 here in Greenville for a job. And of course, the job itself moved us to Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
But it's a funny story that got me to Greenville. My brother worked in Greenville at Norfolk Southern Railway Railroads Company. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was out of work, and he wasn't thinking I was going to, put in the application. But what I did was I said, you know what? I'm going to come to the hiring session. And there were, you know, hundreds of people at the hiring session.
Yeah.
And at that hiring session, you go through the process round one and round two.
Right.
And then I came through the process, and it got down to about five in the final, interview. And I was hired. Here I am. And even as a result of that, coming to Greenville, that's how I met my wife. And that story in itself. You kind of go around these roads and these choices, and the thing that happens is finding my wife. So that's one of the things. So yeah, Greenville, but now I do now live in Atlanta.
What a blessing. I love that. So you do Atlanta, but I'm grateful that you came down to, you know, where we're at today. So certainly. Thank you, even though you had a little trouble because not the traffic. 85, 385, it don't matter. I think we're going to start having traffic like Atlanta here soon. But, you know, hey, I'm just really grateful that you got here safely. So now listen, how did your faith play a part in the actual books that you wrote and coloring book that I'm excited about? So let me just say,
gotcha.
My prayer is my superpower. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I know prayer changes things.
Yes.
But being a superpower is one that I can also say I know exactly what that's like. Oh, Lord, I think we're going to have to tell Nicholas to edit that out because I just think I just burped on TV. I don't think you're supposed to burp in the middle of a podcast.
Certainly.
But anyway, my prayer is my superpower. I think this is really good. Now, this is a book that I have. And when I tell you flipping through it, I love the fact that it's not like a long read, but you've got short chapters. But what I'm so excited about and what I'm kind of mad about is the fact that you brought a coloring book but no crayons. How you bring the coloring book and no crayons? If you bring a coloring book, you got to bring the crayons. So where's the crayons at? For my power, the superpower is the coloring book. I'm kind of upset by that.
You know, that's a great question there. it's my preference that you certainly read the book first.
Read this.
Just to get introduced to the aspect of prayer being your superpower.
Mm.
And how you said that prayer is my superpower, you know, how does faith play a role?
Yes.
You know, for me, from early on, I was exposed to prayer, and the importance of it is one of those things that, you know, life happens, situations happen. Where do you turn when there are storms? Where do you go when things happen? So even as a young person, my mom was dealing with a mental illness when I was in high school. Matter of fact, I lived by myself in high school while she was dealing with mental illness. So who could I talk to?
You was living by yourself?
Living by myself.
Like taking care of yourself by yourself in high school?
Yes, yeah.
What grade?
It would have been around the 11th grade, 10th and 11th grade year.
I didn't even have the mental capacity to fix a ham sandwich.
Well, you know, I did. it was definitely a struggle of sorts, but she gave me a foundation to be prepared for it.
Wow.
But I did not realize it. But the difficulty of going through that, I had to turn somewhere.
Come on.
I could find myself, you know, being by myself to say, you know, Lord, I just need you to help me. As a teenager, help me in this. I didn't understand all that was happening, the impact of it. But what I did know from going to Sunday school, Vacation Bible School, this God that I had heard about, this God that I believed about, I had to turn to in that moment. And he carried me through.
So that was like your but God moment. So your mom's going through mental illness. You got to take care of yourself. This but God moment comes out, and then your prayers is your superpower.
Yes, it's almost like think of Popeye when he's facing the adversity of Brutus and he's being beat down by the circumstance. And all of a sudden, he musters up something from within to give him the necessary power to overcome.
Not the spinach. Well, you saying it ain't the spinach. You saying it's...
It was not spinach. I'm not a big fan of spinach, but I will eat it. But for me, it was the prayer within and by my faith. And
come on.
With my faith that became the power necessary to make it through. Matter of fact, I was in high school, and one of my teachers found out that I was living by myself.
No.
And she said, I'm gonna tell. And I said, if no one told you, you would not have known the difference.
Would have not have known.
And so that right there, she said, you're correct. And one of those things, it just showed that God carried me through. He helped me at that young age. And even now at age 50, He's still carrying
us all through. You hear what I'm telling you?
He's still my superpower.
I love it. Now, listen, when people, I got to quit saying listen, because I mean, you all listening because you're here, and everybody out there, you're listening and watching.
Absolutely.
But when you hear people say superpower, or when I think of someone saying superpower, I often think of like comic books, you know, and superheroes. What does superpower mean in the context of your book and your coloring book?
It's really tapping into what God placed within. It is whatever situation that you yourself face, knowing that he has given you the necessary tools to be empowered to overcome. Storms, frustration, relationships, finances, sickness, all of these things, you may face them, but where do you turn to? You go within.
That's right.
And you bow down. You kneel down. In football, it's called the victory formation at the end of the game because you won.
Right.
The truth of the matter is that we have won. So when you bow down, when you kneel down, you have gotten into the victory formation. It taps into the superpower that is within you to overcome any adversity that you may face.
Listen, I don't know if I need to get someone get a prayer cloth across my lap or something, because you could sound like you got an anointment oil over there that's coming down. Because now, don't make me do a victory lap in the studio, because I will. Now that's a powerful word, a victory lap, and we know it's within. I love how you did that. How do you hope readers lives will change after reading My Superpower, or their kids even coloring in the this coloring book is just not for kids. I hope you know that. Absolutely. It is for adults as well.
That is correct.
My Prayer's a Superpower coloring book is not just for kids. It's for adults. Now, he didn't bring my number one or two coloring pencils, but how do you hope their lives will change after reading and after coloring in the coloring book?
You know, that's a great question. The most important thing about having being exposed to the book is that relationship begins. It is my desire that the youngest person begins their relationship with God and they begin to communicate and have conversation with God.
That's
because
good.
Because at its lowest level or simplest level, prayer is conversation with God.
And he ain't waiting on you to just say, oh, Lord. He wants you to talk to him.
Absolutely.
You ain't got to make an appointment.
Come on.
You can talk to him anytime.
Absolutely.
I was talking to him coming down the highway. You know what I was saying? Lord, please let my guest get here safely, Father God.
Yes.
Guide the road, the cars.
Yes.
Keep them safe.
Yes.
And I was like, now I know you hear me, Big Jesus.
He does.
Yes.
He does. And I was sitting in the car still. And I was like, Lord, I need you to move.
And look what he did.
He moved.
Then he moved the traffic like the Red Sea, didn't he?
And you're exactly right. It's amazing how you have circumstances.
Yes.
You have situations and you need a detour.
Right,
you need
right.
God to detour things to bring you to where he desires for you to come.
Especially when we go on our own path. Won't we do it? Won't we tangy off on our own path and he ain't said go that way?
We'll mess up in a minute.
Every time.
We try to get ahead of him. But here's the prayer superpower. Is whenever the situation comes up, to be still in the moment and pray. Conversation, as we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's not a long, drawn-out prayer. The simplest prayer that blind Bartimaeus says, Father, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. That's simple. Have mercy on me. For a kid, help me.
Yeah, that's good.
Teach them Jesus.
Teach them.
Just a simple word, Jesus.
Yeah.
Even in school, when things are bullying, my goal from this book is to arm them with the necessary tool to recognize, and the title says to discover and to activate.
Yeah.
Discover and to activate
the power
within.
I love that. And you know what? Now this at the bottom, it says discovering and activating the power of prayers for black boys is what this book says.
Absolutely. That's what it says.
But now it could really be for all boys.
That is correct.
Because I think it is important for men alone to know the importance of prayer, because from what the Bible says and from what the word that says, it says that men are to lead the household.
Certainly. And the basis for men ought to always pray is what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
He says men ought to always pray. Now, he used men, but he was really talking about humanity. It's not gender. He said men ought to always pray.
Yes.
If Jesus says men ought to always pray, he's basically saying there's always a time that you should make it a practice, make it your lifestyle to pray. And like you said, the book is not just for a young, but it is, and definitely not. I use race that young black boys can see themselves with all the things that are happening, but they'll be empowered to have the necessary power for all the things that they are facing. And I've been experiencing that other people have been reading the book. Young adults have been reading the book.
Right.
I had my uncle, he recently read the book. And he said, once I picked the book up, now he is, I think in his, between 70 and 80, I would say. And he said, I picked the book up and I didn't put it down until I finished it.
That's powerful.
So that just goes to show that, he's in his 70 plus, but he read the book and there was something within it that he identified with that's helpful.
I love it. I love that. Like that alone speaks volume to me, that even, You know, I always say age is nothing but a number, because you can still learn at any age. And especially in life, and in this life, you can still learn, you know, and grow. And that's important in this day and time, that you're still able to grow at any age.
True.
You're still able to pray. God doesn't see color. He doesn't see gender. He just wants you to pick it up and talk to him and pray.
Absolutely.
So I think this is really good. Now, you know, back to you growing up, raising yourself in high school.
Right.
So you said your mom, was it due to mental illness?
Yes.
Is that what it was?
Yep.
So dealing with a parent that's going through mental illness,
sure,
raising yourself in high school,
sure,
you know, you have this but God moment, you know, that only God can really bring you through.
No question.
Trying to get yourself through high school, you know, you're moving on through adulthood.
Yes.
As a minister, and trying to balance teaching the word, how does that relate to your everyday life? You're a minister, you're out here working, you're trying to minister, you know, how do you prepare yourself to be able to have that life balance with writing for a wider audience and letting them know that, hey, if I went through this moment and I can say God brought me through, how do you relate to that? Like, how do you help an audience that you've never ever wrote to? How do you relate to that? How do you get them to relate to what you've been through?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. When you think about it, my journey was a difficult journey. As dealing with my mom and her, mental illness, and trying to navigate life itself. I went to college, and one of my best friends was killed in my freshman year in college. Difficulty there. Then, going back, my father was not in the home with me. So you know that builds certain responses in life that you deal with even as a grown man. But with that, what I would say that I was lucky enough to pray to God and say, God, don't let my father die before I get things corrected. But let me go back to what was the catalyst for that conversation. My mother was on her deathbed, and she said to me, have you talked to your father?
Wow.
Now, in that, I paused for a minute, and I responded, no, but I will. That was 2003, and I didn't immediately follow through. Of course, she transitioned. But again, going back to 3 o'clock in the morning, one night, I found myself crying out, said, God, don't let my father pass. And he was 89 at that time. Now, 89. I'm saying he was 89 years old at that time.
Wow.
And so I went to him. I drove down to our hometown in Alabama, named after our family, Mosses, Alabama. And I went to him, and immediately when I walked up to him, he embraced me.
Jesus.
We've never had that kind of interaction. We've talked from time to time, but not often at all. The minute that he embraced me, all the anger, all the frustration that I had dealt with for years as a young boy, you want to look and see your father. I played sports. Didn't have my father in the stands to cheer me on. My mother was there from time to time, but she had to work. So I stopped playing football because I didn't have the father to affirm me.
Mm.
So here I am, face to face with my father. Still somewhat that resentment, still somewhat that anger there. And he embraced me.
That's powerful.
And that embrace, the melting of all of that that was there, happened in that moment. And we restored our relationship. He transitioned 1 year later at 90 years old.
Now there's some real superpower and some prayer, because now some people, as myself, I'll just have to be honest. Now, I don't know. The Lord ain't dealt with me like that about my daddy yet. Now, he going to have to really work through me with some prayer with that, because my Lord, now, I ain't thought no. I guess, you know, I got to get the heart of a minister, because I ain't got that yet. I'm just saying now, that's Minister honest. Moss, you know, you. I'm just being honest. That's you know, good. That's powerful within itself for you to be able to mend that relationship. You know, was that something that you've missed? Did you miss that growing up with, yes, without your dad?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
you felt that void without him being there?
No question whatsoever. Even everything that I find myself doing is for affirmation. It is to say good job, to push, to get that, to receive that. To get a pat on the back. Great job. Good job, son. But let me bring it to this point right here. You said you're not there as a minister.
No, I said, meaning like if I was, you know, I got to get there as a minister. Honestly, no.
I get it, but let me bring it to you in this way. When my mother said, have you talked to your father? I thought she was talking about my earthly father.
Oh, she was talking about.
But the truth of the matter, when I said at 3 o'clock in the morning,
come on,
I called out not to R.W. Moss,
you my called father. Out to
I
God.
Called out to my father.
And you he got the answer answered. From him.
And based on that answer, I went to my.
You better make this story father. Into a biblical story for us.
It is so. I went to my earthly father. As a result, having gone to my heavenly father. That repaired the breach. So having said that, prayer really is.
Yeah, prayer is the answer. Power. And you know what? It's funny that you should say that, because I think, you know, you have to pray about it. You have to go to God with it.
Absolutely.
And if you ain't went to him with it, you can't, you know, really turn it over and release it. Sounds like to me you released it over to him and allowed him to do
the work.
What he had to do. You took your hands out of it and you took your feelings out of it and allowed God to work. I think that's amazing. That's amazing within itself. Just know that some of us ain't got there yet, Minister Moss. You know, I ain't went to my Heavenly Father and said, mend this yet. You know, sure. I ain't haven't went there yet. You know, but listening to your story, it makes you, you know, be like, now if God did it for him, I know he can do it for me. You know, that's a healing. You sure. know,
it really is. It really is. And it goes back to this big. Powerful word called grace. Because we have received grace, but we should extend grace. And that, in essence, means I complained about my father. I talked about what he didn't do. I talked about him not being there. That's what he didn't do in my mind. But God has extended grace to me for what I did not do. So how dare I keep him on the hook for what he failed to do.
Yeah.
But when you get to that point, to extend grace, forgiveness.
I guess I got to get to a point to where I can think about it and care a little bit. Cause that's different. Like I don't have that in me. Like I care to extend. I understand. I don't know if that makes sense to what I'm saying. Like I don't have a feeling either way. Okay. It's you know I, what I'm saying. So to hear you say that, I'm like, yeah, I can see you extending grace, but I've never dove into the fact of you not being here, or even really cared to elaborate. You're not a conversation piece for me. So
gotcha.
You know what I'm saying. I can't complain about something that I can say I missed. Because I didn't miss anything from my standpoint.
Sure.
So I can't say, I'm not running around out here and say, oh, you ain't, I ain't doing that. Because it ain't something I experienced. To hear you say that, you know, then yes, I think praying and asking, you know, okay, God, show me what I am supposed to do. Is this something that's supposed to be mended? Or is it? For me, that seems like, you know, you wanted that relationship. Is that what it...
You know, I think there's something that God places within all of us as far as a void, a hole that only he can fill. Now, if that may not be something that's necessary to be mended.
Okay.
But relationship with God is what's paramount.
Yes.
What's important. So you are causing other people to laugh and to have joy. But there's something that I noticed that you talk about living through the personally what the pain is for you.
Yeah.
But there's an area of pain that only God himself.
Laugh until the pain is gone is my motto.
That is your motto. So yeah. There's something that caused the pain. I don't know what caused the pain.
And but listen, but he always shows up and in the midst of the pain.
Yes, he does.
He always comes to life. Yes. I've had a struggle this year and everyone is like, when are you going to tell your testimony? I'm like, I am. I'm going to tell it.
Yes.
But that's what my motto is laugh until the pain is gone. It's been, you know, just life. You know, life happens.
It does happen.
And we cry. People cry. We get sad. For me, I've taken that tool and said, okay, we're going to laugh until the pain is gone. I'm not going to cry no tears about it no more.
Sure.
I have to flip it. So, yes, that is something I am going to eventually have to talk about. Sure. But to hear another person talk about the absence of their father, you know, I'm always curious on how people deal with it. You know, your take on it is a little different from what I've heard before.
Sure.
And to me, that sends a message to people that don't know that it's okay to pray and then, you know, seek God first and then go to your earthly father and say, hey, I forgive you.
Sure,
let's mend. And, you know, that speaks volume for you, who you are as a person. And with that, I want to ask you, what is one message that you would want to leave with the listeners and the people that are watching who feel powerless right now? What is the message that you would want to leave for them?
You know, that's one of those questions. It goes back to the superpower, that if you feel powerless, go to the person that has all power.
Mm.
And that's God himself.
Yes.
How do I go to the person that has all power when I feel powerless? I simply submit myself to God and say, Father, help me in my weak moment. The Bible tells us that he is made perfect in our weakness.
Gotcha.
His strength is made perfect in our weakness.
Yes.
In other words, the times that we're weak, he breaks open his superpower and reveals his power. He looks to flex his muscle to show just how strong he is because we have this weakness. So the simple message is, when you find yourself weak in a moment, go to God and be empowered to face the battle. And we win at the end of the story.
I love it. I love it. So now if someone is looking for your books, sure. My Power, my Prayer is My Superpower, and this Bougie Coloring Book. Now, let me just ask, is these mine?
That's yours to keep, absolutely.
Because I was going to say.
Let me add, since you talked about not bringing coloring books.
No, the crayons.
I'm sorry. They actually have, it is an activity book. As well as
So
if you have a pen, I'm sure you have a pen somewhere that you'll be able to. I didn't bring you no crayons, but I know you have a pen.
Oh, so I have a pen, but see, you supposed to bring to bring the pen, the crayon, and the pencil, sir. You can't just bring half of the gifts and not everything.
That is correct.
So now, if someone is looking to actually get a copy. You know, as a Christmas gift or a birthday gift,
absolutely.
Whatever, just even for themselves, where can they find your information to make that purchase?
Via my website, booksbyzlmoss.com. That's books, BYZLMoss.com. They're also found on Amazon as well. You'll find my books by the same title. They're there. Are ready for purchase. Absolutely.
I love it. Now tell our audience how they can, if they want to connect with you to hear more about who Minister Zacchaeus Moss is, to hear your story. Because you never know. People might need you to come and talk about, mending absolutely. And forgiveness and extending grace. Where can they find you on social media?
Okay, on Instagram, Business Aggie. That's BUSINESSAGGIE. That's Business Aggie. And on Facebook, of course, Zacchaeus L. Moss. You can find me there. I'm there in that space. I put positive posts all the time.
Yes, you do.
And to strengthen.
You do. It's never anything bad. I've gone to your social media time and time again, and let me just tell you, there's always an uplifting post. Anytime you go to your page, no matter what's going on, you always have something positive to say. And I think that's really good. So I want to tell you again, thank you so much for coming to hang out with me. And be sure to get your copies. He told you where to get them from. Be sure to get your copies. Go show love. Go show support. It's a prayer book, a coloring book. My prayers is my superpower. Minister Zakiya Small, so I thank you for coming to hang out with me. You have a blessed day. All right, I'm calling all G-Racers out. If you want to be a guest on the G-Race show with the lovely Big O, send me your story right now at lovelybigo@96.3theblock.com. Or you can go on Facebook under G-Race. That's right, it's G-Race on Facebook. And send your story if you want to be a guest on the G-Race with the lovely Big O.